Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We are holding on daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, the last skinny line of daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Leah Shalom, the Neshama, should have an aliyah. So the first thing we're going to talk about are which achbarim are included in Tumas Shratzim, that an achbar is one of the Shratzim that are Tamei, but which achbarim? Achbarim that live in the ocean, achbarim that only live on the ground, what if an achbar lives on the ground but goes into the ocean? So what is and is not included in the category of achbarim? Then the Gemara is going to comment about specific shratzim and some of their unique characteristics. That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about certain cities where people are bad people and you got to beware of them because they're always going to be trying to steal from you. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about dangling limbs and flesh from an animal, what the tumah status is of dangling limbs and flesh from an animal. The Gemara is going to talk about why it is that a dangling limb would be subject to tumas ochlin, meaning we already view it like it's ochel, as if it's no longer attached to the animal, but it's not tumas eivir menachai. It's not considered to be eivir menachai because it's still attached. So is it or isn't it attached? Meaning how can it at the same time be subject to tumas ochlin and yet at the same time not be subject to tumas eivir menachai? The Gemara is going to discuss, can you have such a similar concept in Hilchos Shabbos? Can you have a fruit that's attached enough to a tree that you'd be chayer for being tolish on Shabbos, to pulling it off the tree on Shabbos, but it's detached enough that it's subject to tumas ochlin, that it's considered an ochel, it's no longer considered to be mechuber lekarka. And then at the end of the daf, going into the first half of tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to have six different explanations of the machlokes tanoim, whether shchita of an animal will be machshir, the dangling eiver, to be mekabel tumah, meaning we know in order for tumas ochlin to become tame, in order for something to become tame with tumas ochlin, it needs to be huchshar lekabel tuma. So if a dangling limb might have the status of tumas ochlin, how can it become huchshar lekabel tuma? Will the shchita of the animal be machshir lekabel tuma? It's machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah, and we're going to have six different explanations of what the nekudas hamachlokas is as to whether the shchita of the animal is machshir, the dangling limb, to be mekabel tuma. So let's begin at Tan Rabbanan, again, the last skinny line on daf kuf chavav and beis. So Tan Rabbanan mitoch shneimar, since the pasuk that details the various shratzim that are tamei, it says achbar so shemayan yafilu achbar shabiyam. I would imagine anything that's called an achbar, including a water achbar, an ocean achbar, would be included. Sheshmo achbar, because it is called an achbar. But we learn that vidinu and says the Gemara, there's a reason to assume that the achbar shabiyam though should be tar, because the Torah is mitame a chulda, and the Torah is mitame an achbar. So it stands to reason, ma chulda mina gadol al ha'aretz, just like a chulda we know is an earth creature, it's a land creature, so af achbar gadol mina gadol al ha'aretz. So too, maybe when the Torah is mitame an achbar, it's only a land creature achbar. It is not an achbar shabiyam. But on the other hand, o kalech l'darchzo, or maybe we should say in the opposite direction, that we should learn that an achbar hayam is in fact tame, because timei bachulda v'timei ba'achbar. You're right, the Torah is mitame chulda and the Torah is mitame an achbar. But where do we take that comparison? Maybe we should take it in the following direction: ma chulda kol sheshma chulda. Just like a chulda includes everything that's in the category, everything that is called a chulda, af achbar kol sheshma achbar. So too, an achbar is anything that is called an achbar. So afilu achbar shebiyam sheshma achbar, and therefore would include an achbar shabiyam, which is also called an achbar. So tamalomar ala aretz. That's why the pasuk has to tell me in the parsha of Tumas Shratzim, it says v'zelchem atamei b'sharetz hashoreis al ha'aretz. Those words ala aretz are extra, so we darshin that it's dafka an achbar ha'aretz that's tamei, but an achbar yam is not tamei. So what the Gemara essentially told us is that from the comparison between an achbar and a chulda, you could have gone in two directions. You could have said that an achbar shabiyam is yes included. You could have said it's not included. So we have extra words in the pasuk to tell me that it's not included. That only an achbar shabaretz is mitame. An achbar that lives in the yam is not mitame. Frak the Gemara, are you sure that's what the words Allah aretz are there to teach me? I Allah aretz, if the makar to be mitame Maher and Achbar Ayam is from the words Al Haaretz, so Yachal, I would think to darshan them somewhat differently and to say that there's no difference between an Achbar that lives on the dry land and an Achbar that lives in the ocean. They're both Mitame, and the limud from the Pasuk is Al Haaretz Yitame, Yorid Liam Lo Yitame, that they're both Tame when they're located Al Haaretz. But if you touch them when they're in the Yam, then they're not going to be Mitame you. So Tamil Omer, that's why the Pasuk says Hashorates. The word Hashorates is extra, that Kol Makom Shashorates, that wherever it could be, that it's able to move, it's Mitame. And an Achbar Haaretz is able to move in the Yam, it's able to swim. So it turns out that it's Mitame even when it's in the Yam. So if it's Mitame even when it's in the Yam, what do I learn from Al Haaretz? I cannot learn from Al Haaretz that it's only Mitame when it's on the Yabasha, because Hashorates tells me not that way. Hashorates tells me that it's Mitame even when it's in the Yam. So it must be that Al Haaretz is coming to tell me that like we initially said, that only an Achbar Haaretz is Tame, but the fish that's called an Achbar Hayam, is not Tame. So an Achbar Haaretz has the ability to swim, and it's Mitame even when it's in the Yam, but an Achbar Hayam is not Mitame. So says Mar, are you sure that's the limud? Oh, you know, maybe the word Hashoret should be darshaned somewhat differently. To be Mitame in Achbar, the Achbar that goes to the Yam, Ela Hashorates, maybe Hashorates should be explained from a lot, it should be understood as a lashon of, like the Torah says, Ubnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu. It relates to the ability to reproduce, that it relates to having a lot of offspring. And it's telling me that Kola Mashritz, anything that comes into being through Priya Revia, it has a mother, it has a father, Yitame will be subject to Tumashratzim. But She'ein Mashritz, that which doesn't come into being with a mother and a father, then Lo Yitame, then it's not going to be Mitame. Otzi Achbar Shechatzio Basar Vechatzio Adama. Maybe that's what the word Hashoreitz is coming to exclude. That the Achbar that we spoke about, the magical Achbar we spoke about yesterday, that just comes up from the earth and it's half Achbar and half earth, She'ein Paru V'Rava, where it doesn't have a mother and a father, it just comes into being. So maybe that's what the word Hashoreitz is coming to exclude. So the Brisa responds that you cannot say that the Pasuk is coming to be Metaher, the Achbar that's half flesh and half earth, because we learned the din of such an Achbar from a comparison to Chulda, from a link to Chulda. Vidinu, it makes sense that it should be Tame, because Timei b'Chulda, Timei b'Achbar. The Torah is Metame Chulda, the Torah is Metame an Achbar. Ma Chulda kol sheshma Chulda, just like when the Torah is mitame chulda, it's mitame anything that's called a chulda, af achbar kol sheshmo achbar. So to the achbar that it's mitame is anything that's called an achbar, avi achbar shechatzio basar v'chatzio adama, and that therefore includes even the achbar that's half earth and half mouse, it's half flesh and half earth. And Rashi explains that we'd rather learn with the binyan av that an achbar that comes into creation on its own without a father and mother is tame, and to say that the word hashem Shorates is a lashon of moving around and ability to move, and to say that it comes to include all Shmona Shratzim when they go into the Yam, that they're able to move, rather than to say that a Shorates is a lashon Peri Verivya, and then not use the Binyanah for anything. I mean, you can account for both if you say the way we're saying now, that the Binyanah tells me that an Achbar that comes into being on its own is Tamei, and you could still account for the word Ashorates. But if you use the word Ashorates to tell me that an Achbar that comes into being on its own is not Tamei, then you have nothing to learn with the Binyanav. Then the Binyanav doesn't teach you anything. So we'd rather not leave the Binyanav hanging with nothing to teach me, and therefore this is the better way to learn it. Oh, Kalech L'Derech Zo. Or maybe there's another way to darshan the Binyanav. That Ma Chulda Paravarava, just like a Chulda is Paravarava, it has a father and a mother, Af Achbar Paravarava. So too, when the Torah is Mitame and Achbar, it's only an Achbar that comes about through Priya Revia, but an Achbar that comes into creation just by emerging from the earth would not be Tamei. So since we can learn the Binyanav, even if we go in that direction, meaning even if you go in the direction of being Metaher, the Achbar Sheba'aretz, there is the Binyanav is still intact. So maybe that's a reasonable limud. So Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says basheret, that the word basheret is extra because the following pasuk says elat meim lechem bechal hasheret. So why does it have to say basheret a second time? So it's coming to tell me that the achbar that comes into being from the earth is also metame. So the pasuk of hasheret is therefore extra, and therefore we could say that that's coming to teach me what we initially said, that an achbar ha'aretz, that's yorid liam, is in fact mitame, that when a land achbar goes into the yam, that it's mitame, and mimeli you can't say, like the Gemara, the Braisa wanted to be docha, that the pasuk of ala aretz is coming to be mitahir, the achbar ha'aretz that goes into the yam, so it has to be, like we said originally, that the pasuk of ala aretz is telling me that dafka an achbar ha'aretz is tame, but the dag that's called an achbar, the achbar ayam, the achbar that lives in the yam, is in fact going to be tahar. So once we account for all the drushes, we get right back to where we started, right? That the achbar ayam is not an achbar, it's tahar, it's not what the Torah meant by achbar, it's only the achbar that lives on the ground, that lives on the land, is that's in fact called, that's in fact tameh as an achbar. So the Gemara asks on the Braisa, why don't we dash in the psukim slightly differently to be metameh, the achbar ha'aretz that goes into the yam, and to also be metameh, the achbar that lives in the yam, as follows. Meaning we thought it's one way or the other. You could either darshan that the achbar that lives in the yam is tameh, or you could darshan that the achbar that lives on the earth and goes into the yam and swims in the yam is tameh while it's swimming. But we can't darshan both of those things. Says, well, why not? So one of the chum said to Rava as follows. Ema, maybe you should say, basheret lasu yachbar shechetzi basu v'chetzi adama. That basheret comes to tell me that the half earth, half achbar is tameh as a sheret. Ha, shoret, and the word hashoret is a lashon of prior via. So kol shu shoret afilu achbar shebiyam, anything that has a father and a mother, including the achbar shebiyam, including the achbar that lives in the ocean. V'imi shom ala aretz, but maybe you're going to tell me, no, ala aretz tells me that the achbar shebiyam is not included. Maybe you could be mitareitz, that those words are coming to teach me that all of the shratzim are only mitameh when they are ala aretz. But when they are in the yam, they're not going to be mitameh someone who touches them. Says the Gemara, Amalei umachar deshavisei liyam makom tuma. Once you're going to tell me that the yam is a place that's ra'ui for tuma, because you said that the shratzim that are in the yam are mitameh, just like the shratzim that live on land, so malihacha, malihacha. What difference does it make whether the achbar biyam, whether the achbar is in the yam or the achbar is on the aretz? The halacha should be that when it's in the yam, it's metame as well. So the drasha of the brisa is more mistaver, and therefore the drasha of the brisa is the more correct drasha. So now the Gemara goes back to analyze this brisa and ask on the brisa that you cannot say that the words ala aretz are extra and come to teach me that an achbar hayam is tahar, because we already darshaned a different drasha from there. So the background over here is that we have a klal that whenever you have a safek tumah, so if safek tumah rishus haram is tar, safek tumah rishus yachal is tameh, right? That's the din of safek tumah. We learn it from sota, that a sota is a safek tumah, and the Torah is machmir about it, and sota only happens for rishus yachal in a secluded place. So we darshan from there. That's something, even though sota is not really about tumah, but the Torah calls it tumah. So we dashim from there that something tumah rishus yachal is tameh, but something tumah rishus harabim is tahar. When it comes to a sheretz that's floating on the water, there's a brisa meseches nazir daf samach gimel that tells us that if you have a suffik about such a sheretz, even if it's rishus yachid and you have a suffik whether you touched it, you're tahar. Meaning it defies the normal rules of suffik tumah rishus yachid tameh. Now when it's a sheretz that's floating on the water and you have a suffik tumah, you're tahar. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi explains over there in Maseches Nazir that we learned that din, that chiddush din, from a stira between two pesukim. That one pasuk says, "Al teshaktsu es nafshoseichem b'chol hasheretz hashoreitz v'lo sitamu behem." So it sounds like a sheretz is metame wherever it's shoreitz, whether it's karka or whether it's mayim, wherever it happens to be moving around. But then there's another pasuk that says, "Al ha'aretz," which sounds like it's only metame when it's al ha'aretz and not when it's in the ocean. So So it must be that the first pasuk is coming to tell me that a sheretz that's floating on the water is metame when you know for sure that you touched such a sheretz. And the second pasuk is telling me, no, only ala aretz. That's talking about a suffik tuma. That if you have a suffik tuma about a sheretz in a rishus sayachid, you're tame, but that's only ala aretz. A suffik tuma on a sheretz, but a rishus sayachid, that's on the mayim, that's going to be tahar. So that's how we learn that this is an exception to the rule of suffik tuma b'rishus hayachid. So frak the gemara, the high ala aretz, this ala aretz that you're using to teach me that the achbar aliyam is tahar, mi bari lelotzi suffik tuma tzafa. We already used that ala aretz to tell me that the din of suffik tuma b'rishus hayachid tamei does not apply to a sheretz that's saf ala mayim, that's floating on the water, and you have a suffik tuma about it. Tam rabbi tzuv rav dimi ala aretz lotzi suffik tuma tzafa. He used the words ala aretz to tell me that suffik tuma tzafa is tar. So says Gemara, yeah, tarti ala aretz ksivi. It says it in two places. It says ala aretz twice. So you could learn both drashos that an achbar hayam is tar and that a sharetz that's tzaf al pnei hamayim is not metame misafik. So at the end of the day, the achbar hayam is not the achbar that the Torah was talking about that's tame. The achbar hayam is in fact tar. So now the Gemara starts commenting about specific shratzim. Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa that when the Torah describes the shratzim that are tame, it says hacholed, which is the chulda, it says ha'achbar, and then it says v'atzav liminehu. So when it says liminehu, what's that including? Lahavi, it's coming to include other shratzim that are considered like subcategories of a tzav. Ha'arvad, v'chein hanfilim, v'salmandura. So an arvad is a sheretz, that's a kalayim, that it comes from a nachash and a tzav. The Gemara is going to have in today's daf. And it's very, very poisonous. If it bites you, you die for sure. And there's no refuah unless you get to the water very quickly, before the arvid gets to the water. A salamandra is a type of creature that's fire resistant. In fact, it only lives in the fire. So whatever you can, the Gemara assumes that if a person rubs salamandra on them, then they're not going to be affected by fire. They'll be able to survive a fire, and that it produces some sort of wool on it. It has some sort of tzemer that they make begadim that are non-flammable. So it's a unique type of creature. When Rabbi Akiva got to this pasuk of Atzav Luminehu, where we darshan Salmandra, Omer Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. He said, wow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva, throughout Shas a few times, he's very moved by things that he sees, but not just by things that he sees in the world, by Torah that he sees. When he learned the parsha of Hafaras Nedarim, he was very moved about Machsheves Hachet and what that means, that a person could be punished for even Machsheves Hachet, even if they didn't do a chait. And he's very moved by over here. He's very moved when he saw the fox by the Harabayas. He's always he's very moved by things. So Rabbi Akiva said, Marob Masach Hashem, wow. Yesh Chabrios Gedolos Beyam. Hashem has these large fish in the sea. Yesh Chabrios Gedolos Beyabasha. And he has these large creatures on earth. Shabiyam El Molios Beyabasha Miyan Mesos. It could be the biggest fish, the strongest, most powerful thing. Comes up onto dry land and it dies. Shabiyabasha. It could be the biggest, most powerful earth animal, ground animal, and it goes into the ocean and it will die. There are certain brios that live only in fire, meaning the salmandra, and others that only live in air and not in fire. If the salmandra were ever to leave the fire, it would die. And any other animal that were to go into the fire would burn to death. So Marab Masach Hashem. It's amazing the Maisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he makes these diverse creatures and these powerful creatures that need a particular atmosphere in order to survive. Any type of creature that you have in the dry land, you have an equivalent in the ocean. Chutz min achulda, except for a chulda, there is no fish called a chulda. So Amar Bzeira Mikra, what's the pasuk that's merames to that? Because the pasuk says hazinu kol yoshvei chaled, that the yoshvei haaretz is the makom of chuldos. That's why they're called yoshvei Chalad. Because there is no chulda in the ocean. The shratzim that are called bevari that are in the city of Narash, they only exist in the water. They don't exist on dry land. So therefore, if you eat them, you're not going to be in violation of eating kol hasharetz hasharetz al haaretz of lo yeachel. You're only in violation of the pasuk of sharetz hamayim mibsarim lo sochelu, because you should know that in Narash these type of creatures are only water creatures. They are not land creatures. So if you eat one, you're doing an avera, but not two averas. You're doing the avera of sharetz hamayim. You're not doing the avera of sharetz haaretz. Once we're on the topic of Narash, Amar of Papa b'shamta Narash tarbe mashke valyasa, that the entire city of Narash should be in cherim. The chelev and the skin and the tail and the, meaning we're comparing Narash to an animal and we're saying all the different parts of it. So the baker and the candlestick maker and the everybody in Narash, they should all be in cherim. They're all terrible. So eretz shimi dvar Hashem, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says Amar of Papa lo ava Narash ma dvar Hashem, that even though the Navi says that everyone should hear the Dvar Hashem, the people in Narash are a bunch of Rishaim, they don't want to hear the Dvar Hashem. Amrav Gidol Amrav, Nirsha'a Nashkich Mani Kakiach. If a person from Narash kisses you, count your teeth afterwards. They're a bunch of Ganavim. Nahar Pekodah Laviach, if a person from Nahar Pekod accompanies you on the road, Meglima Shapir Dechazialach, it's because he saw that you have nice clothing and he plans on mugging you and he plans on taking your glima shapira, your nice clothing. That's how most of the Rishonim said that he sees that you have nice clothing and he wants to steal it. One could have said that another interpretation is that he sees you have nice clothing and he only associates with people that are rich. Someone told me that their son-in-law was in a community and moved into a community and he said this is not for me, because he felt like I don't know if it was in his head, but he felt like before determining whether they wanted to be friends with him, they wanted to see what kind of watch he had on his wrist. They would only associate with people of a certain social or whatever financial. So it's only because they think that you're a rich person. Pumbedisa laviach, if a person from Pumbedisa accompanies you on the road, so he has his eyes on your money. You better change which hotel you're going to stay in that night, because if you struck up a conversation with him and you told him where you were staying, he plans on finding you and stealing from you. So these are the bad people. One time I went to a place called Va'ad, where there are bad people that make klayim over there. And I saw a certain snake, a male snake, that was mating with a female tzav, which is a different sheret. And what they were producing was an animal called an arvad, which is a very, very poisonous and dangerous animal. When I came to Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Rabbi Shimon HaChassid was a Tana, so this is a Brisa, it's not just a Memra of Amoraim. So I told him what happened. So Amrali, he told me that the reason that the Teva of the Nachash changed and it was mating with a different creature is because Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu said about the Rishayim in this place that they're busy doing Kalayim in order to create creatures that I never made to make new creatures that I never made. So I'm going to cause nature to produce such a creature that I never made initially by two different animals mating with one another on their own, and I'm going to allow it to produce the most dangerous creature. So I asked Gemara, how could it be that this arvad is a kalayim of a nachash and a tzav? Vamar mar, but isn't the rule about the animals mating with one another that kol she tashmishan v'iburan shava, that if the way that they have tashmish and the gestational period are the same as one another, then yolden megadlin zemizeh, then they're able to reproduce from one another, they're able to mate with one another and produce an offspring. But for kol she tashmishan v'iburan shava and yolden megadlin zemizeh, but if they don't have the same derech hatashmish and they don't have the same gestational period, then they're not going to be able to produce offspring. So merav neis b'toch neis. Yeah, this was a double miracle. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch explains the fact that the Nachash abandoned its own min and was interested in the tzav instead, that itself is shalok hederech hateva, and the fact that it produced something. nestling is also shaloka derech hatava. Meaning the Gemara is assuming that a tzav and a nachash have different gestational periods, because the Gemara assumes that a tzav is a 6-month gestational period and a nachash is 7 years. So that's one of the questions of science and Talmud. Is there a nachash that we know of that is a 7-year gestational period? So that one, science may have actually found such a nachash. But okay, so there's this different, so it's a nes betoch nes that they would mate with one another. Some sofer understands the nes betoch nes a little bit differently, that the first nes is that they produce offspring, and the second nes is that the offspring is more dangerous than either of the parents. The tzav and the nachash have a certain level of danger, but the arva that it produces is even more dangerous than both. So it says Gemara, "Hai peranusahu, why are you calling it a nes? It's terrible. It's a peranus." So my nes betoch nes le peranus. Yeah, that's also a nes. Sometimes it's a bad nes. Sometimes it's a nes that's able to punish Rasha'im and brings tremendous suffering into the world. Okay, so now the Mishnah moves on to discuss dangling flesh. The halacha is that an aver that is removed from an animal while it is alive is an av hatumah. There is tumas aver menachai, so it's an av hatumah. But a piece of flesh that comes off of a live animal does not have the tumah of aver menachai nor tumas nevela. It's not a nevela because it's not a dead animal. It came from a live animal, and it's not aver menachai because it's not an aver. It's just basar. So says the Mishnah, ha aver va basar hamadu. If let's say you have an aver shalem that is dangling off of a behema, or you have basar alone that's not an aver shalem that's dangling from a behema, when it comes to an aver, a chatzi aver is not metame. Tumas aver menachai is only when you have a whole aver, because the pasuk says v'chiyamos min behema. So just like a behema is a davar chashuv, the aver that's going to have this tumas status of aver menachai has to be b'shleimuso. It has to be a davar chashuv. But the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Avos HaTumah that you don't need all of its basar to still be intact, as long as it's a yachal alus aruka, as long as it's enough basar that if it were still attached to the animal, it would heal itself. So that's enough basar on the aver to be called an aver. But you need an aver shalim for it to be aver menachai. So if you have an aver that's meduldal, or a basar that's meduldal, the basar is not going to be tamei on its own. But if you have a machshava that you want to feed it to a guy, even though a guy is not allowed to eat it, so metamei tumas olchin, it can become tamei with tumas olchin bimakoman as it currently is while it's still partially attached to the animal, but if it's shrichan hechsher. But like all tumas olchin, things can only become tamei tumas olchin if it was huchshar lekabel tumah, not if it was not huchshar lekabel tumah. So it does require hechsher lekabel tumah. And nishchata behema, let's say you didn't, the yad shach adam liquids never came in contact with this dangling limb or flesh, but the behema was shechted. Does that accomplish hechsher lekabel tumah? So huchshu b'damei divrei Meir, Reb Shimon Amar lo huchshu, machlokas tanoim. And as we said earlier, there's going to be 6 explanations of this machlokas tanoim in the Gemara. The first 2 appear in today's daf, and for the next 4 in tomorrow's daf, 6 different explanations of this machlokas. What are they arguing about? Why yes and why no? Why would you assume that the shechita of a behema will be machshir the ever amaduldal, the basar amaduldal, lekabel tumah? Why would you assume it's not? But that's the machlokas. Mesa behema, if the animal then dies on its own, and you have this aver or basar that's meduldal, so habasar tzarech hechsher. The basar is not metami tumas nevela. It's like any other food that requires hechsher lekabel tumah. Ha'aver metami m'shem aver menachai. But the aver, as soon as the animal dies, is metami m'shem aver menachai, because it's as if it finally fell off. Ve'enu metami m'shem aver nevela. But it's not a nevela. Divra meir. I mean, it's not considered to be aver of a nevela. Rabbi Shimon metayer, and Rabbi Shimon is metayer even midin aver menachai. That is, the Gemara is going to explain what exactly he's disagreeing with and what the basis of Rabbi Shimon is, but that's going to be in a couple of days. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that an Aver and Basar that are Medulal and Behema don't have Tumas Aver Menachai, but they're Mekabal Tumah like other Ochlin, meaning uh, they're, they can be metami tumas ochlin as long as they're hukshal lekabel tuma. So tumas ochlin in tumas nevela lo. Wait a second, they only have tumas ochlin, but the tuma of, I mean, it's a little confusing. The Gemara is going to keep using the term tumas nevela. It really means tumas ever menachai. It's obviously not nevela. It's alive, right? So it's obviously not nevela. So when it says tumas nevela, it means tumas ever menachai, which is metame adam vekelim, like a nevela is metame adam vekelim. So that's why we say tumas nevela, even though that's what Tosas points out in Dibra Maskel Tumas, very short Tosas. Maskan Hashas lav dafka elahinu tumas ever menachai. That wherever tumas nevela is mentioned over here in this sugya, it means tumas ever menachai. So hey chidami, what are we talking about over here in the Mishnah when it says that the aver or the basar is dangling? If it's in a place that it's able to heal, it's attached enough that it's able to heal, so then it's part of the body of the animal, and so it shouldn't be able to be metame tumas ochlin either, because behema is not the behema doesn't become tame while it's alive, and if it's not able to heal, meaning it's totally it's almost totally separated, it's mamish dangling by a thread, then tumas nevelu nami l'tamu. Then why shouldn't it be tamei mishum ever menachai? Because after all, it's not really attached. If it's not mala arucha, so it should have a din of ever menachai. So how could it be attached enough that it's not ever menachai, but detached enough that it's yes tumas ochlin? How can you thread that needle? So the olam dein mala arucha. The case is that it's not really so well attached. It would not be able to heal v'shayni tumas nevela. And nevertheless, tumas nevela is different than meaning the tumah of Eiv Menachai is different. Rachman Omar, ki yipal, achi yipal, that you're right, it's really detached and it should have a din of Eiv Menachai, but there's a pasuk that achi yipal, that it needs to be nafal agamri in order to have the status of Eiv Menachai, and it's not nafal agamri. So it's a gzeres hakasuv that even though halachically it's considered detached, but since it's not fully detached, it's not tamei as Eiv Menachai. Tanya Namiach, you know what Bryce says like this, ha'eviv rabasa mududolun babehima, if you have dangling aver or flesh of a behema, uma orin b'chuta sa'ara, and it's just attached with a chuta sa'ara, just barely attached. So yachal yitama tumas nevela, you might think it has tuma of aver menachai because it's really detached from the animal. Tamalomer yipol achi yipol. That's why the pasuk says v'chi yipol miniv lasam. It has to be fully detached to be aver menachai. So you can have something that's attached enough that it's still not Eivrim Menachai, but it's detached enough that it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. So says Gemara, wow. So it says in the Mishnah that this Eivrim and the Basa that are Medul Bebehema are considered to be attached as far as not having a din of Eivrim Menachai, Vafilu Achi Tumas Ochlin Mitamu. And nevertheless, they are Mitame Tumas Ochlin. So do we ever have in other areas of Halacha? What about in Hilchos Shabbos when it comes to the Isser of pulling something off a tree? Do you ever have something that's, you know, for some Halachas is considered attached, for other Halachas considered detached? So say Rabbi Barashi, it's a riot to that which Rabbi Barashi said. Amr Rabbi Barashi Omar Shmuel Te'enim Shatzamku Bi'ibehen. If you have figs that have dried up while they're still attached to the tree, Metamel Tumas Ochlin, they're considered detached enough that it's already Metamel Tumas Ochlin, it can already be Mekabel Tuma. But I told you, but it's still attached enough that if you yank it off the tree, you're going to be Chayv Karbon Chatos for pulling it off the tree. So maybe we have a riot to this from a brisa to Shmuel, because the brisa says yirakos shatzamku biibehen. If you have yirakos that dried up while they're still attached to their stalk, kigon akruv atalaas ein mitamet tumasochlin. They're not since when they're dry, they're not roi lachila at all, so they're not mitamet tumasochlin. But ktsatzan, if you detach them viyipshan and then they dry up mitamet tumasochlin, then they are mitamet tumasochlin. So we could ask, wait, it says ktsatzan viyipshan sochlidaitoch. We're talking about yirakos that you cut off and then you dry them up, that the mitami tumas ochlin, but it's be'almahu. Dried up yirakos are worthless. They're not edible. So how could you say that it's mitami tumas ochlin? It's a piece of wood. No, what the Braisa means to say is, if you cut them having in mind that you're going to be miyabish them, so the chiddush of the seifa is that you cut them having in mind that they will dry up and they're not going to be edible later on, but so long as they still are edible, they're makabel tumas ochlin. Because right now they're ro'i la'achila, but in the Reisha, there's no Kiddush at all, that a Karuv and a Dala'as that have dried up are not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin, because it's a Eitz B'Alma. So why does the Tanna and the Reisha mention the din of the Kruv and the Dala'as? It must be to make the Diyuk. The actual halacha that it says is not a Kiddush at all, that a Kruv and a Dala'as that are dried up, of course not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin, it's a piece of wood. So what's the Kiddush? Time of the Kruv and Dala'as. It must be the Kiddush is that it's Dafka Kruv and a Dala'as that's dried up. That's not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin. Because when they dry up, they're not royal achila. But hashar peiros mitame. But if it were other peiros that were in that same condition, they would be mitame to masochlin. Well, hey chidami, what do we mean the same condition? If it means that they and their stems are totally dried up, pshita, then of course it's mitame to masochlin. It's not really attached to the tree at all anymore. So elav below uktzein. It must be that the Bryce is talking about that the stems have not dried up. So in such a case, if you tolish them on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv chatos. It is a violation of kotzer on Shabbos. And nevertheless, if they're peros, they're metami to masochlin, like Shmuel said. So you can thread that needle that it's detached enough to be metami to masochlin because it's somewhat dried up, but it's still attached enough because the stem is not dried up to be chayiv for pulling it off the tree on Shabbos. So it says, well, nah, it's not necessarily a raya. Liolam hein vuktzein, vuktzasin, I'm going to ask the option of srichalei. Maybe there's no chiddush in the reisha. You're saying that the whole chiddush of the reisha has to be to make a diuk that it's only about the kruv that's dried up, but if it were a pri, it would be different. Maybe you're not supposed to make any diukim in the reisha. And there ain't a chidami. There's no chiddush in the reisha. The whole chiddush of the reisha is the seifa of the reisha about when you cut it al minas to be miyabeshit. That right now, so long as it's not yaveshit, it's mitami to masochlin. So says Gemara, maybe we could bring a raya against Shmuel. Tashema, we have another reisha that tells us as follows. Ilan shenifshach, if you have a branch of a tree that comes off, ubo peros, and there are peros on that branch of the tree, even though the peros are still moist and they're still really attached well to the branch, harein ketulushin, they're considered to be talush. But a branch that's not detached, and the peros are yavshu, they're dried up, but they're still attached to the tree, harein kumuchubarin. Meaning, don't look at the pre itself, look at whether it's attached to the ground, whether it's attached to the original source. So you can have a giant branch from a tree with robust peros that look like they're very well attached to that branch, but the branch is not attached to anything, so that's considered talush, and therefore pulling a grape off of a cluster of grapes on Shabbos is not a violation of anything. But you have something that's dry, but it's still actually mechubel karka, then it's going to be a violation. So my love, isn't the Brisa telling me that matlushin l'kol devrayin, that just like in the ratio when we say arein ketulushin, it means entirely talush, both as far as the fact that you're allowed to cut it off of the branch on Shabbos, you're allowed to take it off of the branch, take the pre off of the branch on Shabbos, and as far as the fact that it's mekabel tumas ochlin, so too af mechubarin, when the sefer says that it's mechubar, it means lechol devrayin, that we don't thread that needle, we don't distinguish that both as far as the iser to cut it off of the tree and as far as the fact that it's not mekabel tumas ochlin, that it's going to be considered mechubar, unlike Shmuel, who said that dried up peros that are still on a tree are considered Tolush when it comes to Tumas Ochlin. They're not considered Mechubar when it comes to Tumas Ochlin. So isn't this a raya against Shmuel? So it says, midi irya, hakadi isa, vahakadi isa. Nah, it's not a raya because maybe the Reisha means, when the Reisha says it's Tolush, it means Tolush legamri for all the halachos. And when the Sefer says Mechubar, it means Mechubar legamri for all of the halachos. There is an interesting discussion. If that which is talush is not at all, meaning if you have a branch with moist leaves on it or moist peros on it, that's talush. It's not a violation to pull those peros off at all. It's the poskim discuss the halach of being tolish such things on Yom Tov. It comes up in the following context. We know that lo adu rosh, that Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday. One of the reasons that Rosh Hashanah is not able to fall out on a Sunday is because we don't want Hoshana Rabbah to come on a Shabbos, because we don't want people to be chobit to bang the Hoshanos on Shabbos, because they're going to be pulling off the leaves on Shabbos. It's going to be a violation of Chil Shabbos. So in order to make that not happen, we don't allow Rosh Hashanah fall out. We don't allow Rosh Hashanah to fall out on a Sunday. So the question is, what's so bad about that? Meaning, is the Hoshanos are no longer attached to the tree. So why would it be so bad if that actually happened? Okay, well, we'll go a little little weiter. So Michael Mifkli, we said that if the behema gets shechted, so machlokes tanoim, whether the Eivar HaMedulldol is huchshor lekabel tuma by the shechit of the behema. So what are they arguing about? So Amrav behema nasiyah the Eivar HaMedulldol. The blood from the shechita is touching the rest of the animal, but it's not touching that Eivar HaMedulldol, which is the ochel itself. So do we consider the rest of the animal the yad? Because when the mashkim touch a yad of a pri, it also is machshor lekabel tuma. So Mar Savar ein behema nasiyah the yad the Eivar. Rabbi Shimon holds it's not a yad, and therefore it's not machshor lekabel tuma. Mar Savar behema nasis yad the Eivar. And Rabbi Meir holds that it does become a yad for the Eivar, and therefore it is machshir lekabel tuma. And Abaye Omer Bochis Makatan Vein Gadol Oli Imo Kamifli. They're arguing about when the detached item, if you lift it up, the whole animal is not going to come up with it. Mar Savar Bochis Makatan Vein Gadol Oli Imo Hareu Kamahu. That Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir holds that it's still considered one unit, and therefore when the behema is suchshar, the Eivar is suchshar. Mar Savar Einu Kamahu. And Rabbi Shimon holds that they're considered separate units. So just because the behemah is huchshar, it's not going to be machshir that Eivar HaMedulldol. So those are the first two of the six explanations. B'Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Everyone have a great day and a good Shabbos.